Coming up, lots of politics to talk about today with Paul Ryan's announcement yesterday and various reactions to that. We'll play the full statement and the couple of questions he answered and offer some commentary along the way. But first of all, we've got a Wellness Wednesday, Wellness and Weight Loss Wednesday Q&A with Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurt. She's continuing her Q&A, begun in the last few minutes of the previous hour on our sister station, WWIB 103.7 FM and WIB.com. So the Fall Creek nutritionist from KarenHurt.com answering any and all of your questions on wellness and weight loss. Callers, go to the front of the line right now at 723-2555 in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. Toll free 1-800-657-4769. Again, as always, you can email me, mark@wogo.com, mark@wogo.com. Let's make sure Karen is there this morning, and she is there. She didn't hear me because I had not pressed a button. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mark.
All right, good to have you on with us today, and we're going to continue with the Q&A. For our WIB listeners, last hour they heard you dealt with, you may have heard that too much protein may be not good or harmful for you, but you believe otherwise. You unpacked that over about a 15 to 20 minute monologue, and people can check the podcast of that out at WIB.com under podcast at the top of the page. Click on Wellness Wednesday. But right now we'll continue answering questions. Those coming in, mark@wogo.com. Again, callers go to the front of the line at 723-2555 or 1-800-657-4769. And you and I just talking, we had a listener, Christina, who emailed us the record number of most questions, 32 questions, 32. And this, we're not going to get to those this half hour. In fact, we're going to make some space next Wednesday. So be listening for that on WIB. And we better get right into it at about 10:23 next Wednesday, okay?
We'll jump right on it.
We'll jump right on it and see. And she says she doesn't want just short answers, all right? So, all right, but it's 32 questions, Christina, so we'll do what we can. But let's begin with here with the Q&A. Beth from Pennsylvania is one of our regular listeners at WIB.com and WOGO.com. And she says, what do you think of probiotics? What is their function? What is your opinion of fermented foods? Eating fermented food, she says, is very popular right now. So.
I love that question, and I'm glad she's brought it up because I don't know that I've ever really addressed this the way I wanted to address it before.
All right.
So here we go, probiotics. Probiotics are bacteria. We all have bacteria that are alive. They're little tiny bugs that live inside our gastrointestinal tract. They are very beneficial. They help us to digest foods. They help us with just getting all of the rest of our stool to pass through there. They keep us in balance as far as yeast and fungus, and they are very beneficial. If we get too many of the bad bacteria, then that's not good. So there's good bacteria, there's bad bacteria. Now, a person's gastrointestinal tract is normally going to be mostly good bacteria. We all have bad bacteria, but they're held in check by the good plants. Just think about a field, and it's all planted with wheat, but there's a few tares in it, a few bad weeds in it. And so, but the good wheat is definitely going to overpower all the little weeds. So we're okay. That's the way most people's intestinal tract exists. Now, when a person goes on a course of antibiotics, for whatever reason, there's many reasons we may need a course of antibiotics. Antibiotics certainly kill the bacteria that is in our bloodstream and what is targeted for whatever particular situation we have going on. However, not only does the antibiotic kill the bad bacteria that's running around in our bloodstream, it also kills all bacteria, good and bad, that are residing in our gastrointestinal tract. So we get this field that's just wiped clean. There's nothing there. So when we finish a course of antibiotics, then we should consider taking a probiotic or eating these fermented foods that this person was mentioning, which is like sauerkraut, kimchi, that's a Korean type of cabbage that's been fermented, anything with vinegar in it, pickles, olives, those things, they all have some fermentation. Anything fermented means it has bacteria there, and those are good bacteria. So we can eat those foods after we've had a course of antibiotics, or we can also take probiotics, which are prolific on the market today. You can buy anywhere you can go, you can pick up a bottle of probiotics, and they're called Aphidophilus, they're called Bifidus, there's lots of names of the little bacterium. So we take those, and then we reestablish the gut flora. after a course of antibiotics, we only need to take the probiotics or work at consuming fermented foods for 2 weeks. Then we have reestablished the gut flora. They're there. The field is planted. Everybody's growing and we're happy. Now, this is where we start to get mixed up, is that we are, because we know that they're beneficial, we always take it a step too far. Well, if they're beneficial after we take a course of antibiotics, aren't they going to be good for us every day? We should be taking probiotics every day for good gut intestinal health. Here's the problem. The problem is that we have to have an environment in which these bacteria have to live. They have to have a biome. They have to have a biological place that they can hang their hat and say, this is home, this is where my bed is, this is where my food is. I have a house to live in. And you're thinking, Karen, you're really, you know, simplifying this. Yes, because it helps us to think through it a little bit. When we have bacteria, they have to have a place in which they can exist. These are live organisms. They have to eat. They have to be able to grow. They have to be able to exist, and they have to have certain things to be able to make that happen. We can call them nutrients. We can call it space because they need both. So we have, when we take probiotics on an everyday, regular basis, and our gut flora has already been established and has been, it is. We always blame things on gut flora that really has nothing to do with gut flora. Gut flora is the probiotics and the bacteria. So what we are taking all of these live organisms into a static environment that does not grow and does not increase in resources as you take in more and more bacteria. It's like overplanting a field with too many seeds. You know, we can only put so many seeds in the ground. If you put too many seeds in the ground, none of them are going to grow or flourish because we overplanted the field. You have to spread them out. Or overgrazing a pasture. You cannot put too many cattle on one piece of pasture land because if you do, it's overgrazed. And all the grass will die and all the cows won't get fed enough because there wasn't enough resources to support them. There wasn't that biological environment for them to exist. It is the same in the gut. If you put in over and over every day more and more of these live bacterium and they're going into your gut, you are crowding out the good bacteria that's already there. You say, well, I'm putting more good bacteria in. But good bacteria plus good bacteria plus good bacteria doesn't mean lots and lots of good bacteria. It means everybody dies. Let me give you even more close to home example. Mark, how many people live in your household?
Six.
There are six of you. You have a big enough house. You have enough food. You have clothing. You have toilet facilities. You have everything you need to support the six of you. Now, if six is good, isn't 600 better? Because the more, the merrier. So, Mark, we're going to move 600 people into your house.
No, that's a problem.
Yeah, we are, because it's good for you, Mark. We're going to put 600 people, and we are not going to build a bigger house. Your house is still the same size. You don't get any more food than what you currently have. You have to share the food that you used to share between six of you.
That's a problem.
Now you're sharing it between 600 and six of you, all the bathroom facilities closed, bedrooms, all the rest of it. What is going to happen to all 606 of you? You're all going to die.
Yeah.
Because you don't have enough resources to support that type of life. And that's what we're doing by taking these probiotics. It's like, people, we just need to think through this a little bit. Just think through it. When you've been on a course of antibiotics, it's appropriate for 2 weeks afterwards. After that, forget about it. And then so can you say, well, but I want to ensure that I do have good gut flora. Once it's established, and it establishes, even as a child, it's establishing when you're drinking your mother's milk, you have good flora, and they are reproducing themselves. These are not static organisms. They will reproduce themselves. They will grow. There will be more of the good guys. And so they will fill your gut with them. And they are self-limiting. Because if there's not enough resources and the intestinal tract does not grow in size, well, if you're a child, it does grow some in size. But when you're an adult, it's not going to get bigger the more and more probiotics you put in there to make space for more of these bacterium coming through. No. It's the same size, and so there's not enough space, and so it becomes self-limiting. They can't grow anymore. There's not enough resources to grow. There's not enough room to grow, so they don't. So they all end up dying. So what we have to do is just eat a regular diet. You're going to end up eating a pickle. I guarantee you, somewhere along the line, you're going to eat a pickle, or you're going to have sauerkraut someday, or you're going to try the kimchi because you've never tried it. You're going to have these foods that are already there, and if you never say, I hate pickles, I hate sauerkraut, I'm not going to eat any of that fermented food, they will grow on their own anyway. It is so easy. They're very prolific, unless we choke them out.
Why do you think the whole fermented food has become so popular?
I think it's because it's the same thing that always happens. We find something good. Like we
get these fads. There's always fads with eating, right? There's
it's always a fad. It's something good. It starts out as something good. We found out something very useful, that probiotics really need to be put into a system that was wiped clean. When the field is wiped clean, then the weeds can grow up just as fast as the good. So you want to go ahead and plant the good.
Mm-hmm.
But then we took that and we take it one step further. It's like, we don't need to take it one step further. It's done. Stop. Remember inhibitory processes. And so we don't want to inhibit the growth of the good bacteria by any more good bacteria.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the problem. We take one thing and just, you know, it's like more is better, but more is not always better.
More is not always better. All right.
Yeah.
In fact, you can say that about a variety of things, like in Ecclesiastes, in the Bible, it says, the more the words, the less the meaning. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, that's just all across life in many aspects.
Yeah, there you go. More is not necessarily better. All right. Karen Hurd answering more of your questions. Callers, go to the front of the line right now, 723-2555 in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, toll-free 1-800-657-4769. You can email mark at WDOGO.com. We've got other questions to get to, some other emailers from Lisa and Claudia. But first of all, Brian wants to know which sweetener is worse for the body. We'll find out when we come back with Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd from KarenHurd.com. Call our office at 715-877-3510.
Do you like the vehicle you're driving in now? If you're looking for a used vehicle that includes two warranties, maintenance, and a Carfax vehicle history report, then check out the certified pre-owned vehicles at Marquardt Motors. Every certified pre-owned vehicle goes through a 172-point inspection by one of Marquardt's certified technicians. Each vehicle is backed by two zero-deductible warranties. This includes a 12-month, 12,000-mile bumper-to-bumper limited warranty and a 5-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. Not to mention free standard maintenance for 2 years or 24,000 miles. This covers your oil changes, tire rotations, and vehicle inspections. Don't settle for less. Check out Marquardt's wide selection of certified pre-owned Chevy, Buick, and GMCs online. You will find more than 20 photos and a detailed description of each vehicle at MarquardtMotors.com or stop by. We're located off Business 53 between Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls.
You might not be able to prevent your car from being lost to a once every 100 years flood. And you might not have been able to avoid the circus from coming to town and squashing your convertible. And those fireworks that look so good in the sky might not be so pretty when they land on your car, burning it to the ground. So is your brand new car covered for its replacement cost without a deduction for depreciation? With MetLife Auto and Home, the answer is yes. We will repair or replace a total loss to your vehicle within the first year or 15,000 miles, whichever comes first. So relax and enjoy your new car, knowing you have an insurance policy that truly protects you for the challenging road ahead. Call your local MetLife Auto and Home agent, David Shervey, today at 715-723-1653. MetLife Auto and Home is a brand of Metropolitan Property and Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates. Available in most states to those who qualify. Subject to deductible. See policy for restrictions.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
Chilson Automotive, family of dealerships. Their family taking care of your family since 1959. Chilson Automotive. All right. Final 10 to 12 minutes with Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd answering your questions at 723-2555. If you want to call in with a question from Hayward to La Crosse, from Hudson to Wausau, now's the time. 1-800-657-4769. But Brian had emailed and said he wasn't able to listen today. And I'll let him know we provided the answer on WOGO. He says, my question, you're very thirsty. You only have three options. You can have a drink with either sugar in it, sucrose in it, or aspartame in it. So which of these drinks would you choose, Karen?
None.
All right.
So you only have three options. No, there's always a fourth option. No, thank you. Do you know how long it'll take you to dehydrate if you have no water at all? 7 days.
Okay.
In 7 days, I think that you're going to find another source. You're going to find water. And quite frankly, the reality is that, because I go places too, and that they literally are not, they don't even have water there for you to drink. It's like, okay, then what do I drink? I drink nothing, because I'm going to go home in a couple hours, and then I can drink my water then. Or you could, if you're so thirsty, it's like, then take yourself to the little girl's room or the little boy's room, and then there's a sink in there, and run the water and scoop up the water in your hand and drink the water from the tap. So that's we feel like we're backed up against a wall, and we're not. And so we if there
all you ever drink is water.
That is all I ever drink is water. Right.
And what about people who say that is so boring?
Well, it's not boring when you drink it and that's all you drink. I'm so grateful. Every day I think, oh, I'm so grateful this warm water because I usually heat it up. It's so yummy. It is
all right.
So good. You begin to like it. You just want it.
It's so yummy, I will tell the kids.
No. Yes, you tell them.
Let's drink some yummy water. All right, this is Leland who says, Karen should mention that she said, this is regarding, it's headlined, the subject line is pickles and sauerkraut. She says that Karen should mention that they have to be raw, refrigerated fermented foods. Canned and jarred pickles or sauerkraut that are off the shelf have been pasteurized, and then the good bacteria in them are killed.
Okay. There is some killing of the good bacteria, but it's not 100% killing. So there is still, you will know that, because you can put sauerkraut out and just let it grow, and it will have bacteria that will grow on it. And so they really still do have their bacteria in them.
All right, let's go to another one
here. That's a good point, though. I like it.
1121, homepage, WOGO, Paul Ryan, his statement yesterday at the Republican RNC headquarters, that and more in politics, bottom of the hour. But first, for Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd, Lisa says, how can I overcome gluten intolerance by eating soluble fiber?
Yes, that is the answer. Gluten intolerance is another big thing, you know, sort of like the probiotics. There's all these big things that cycle through, or actually sometimes they just die a permanent death, but sometimes they come back. But this gluten intolerance is another one. Everybody, you know, is being diagnosed with gluten intolerance.
That's been very faddish lately for a couple of years now, right?
Oh, yeah, it has been. And it is my experience and also my thought as I look at how chemistry works and the way the body works. It's really not gluten intolerance. That means that you know, your villi are damaged. They're flattened against the wall of the intestinal tract. They've disappeared altogether. And the only way we can tell that is you have to have a biopsy of the stomach. We have to take some of the tissue from the stomach, and you look at it under a microscope to see if the villi are hair-like projections that go out, and then we absorb food through the villi, and it goes through an intestinal barrier, and then it can go into your bloodstream. So we have to find out that way if they have disappeared or not. Gluten intolerance, when you think about it, most gluten foods are sweets. And so people say, yes, I gave up my gluten, and I feel better. They will, because they gave up all their sweets, almost all their sweets. Sometimes they can say, well, I'm eating this hard candy that doesn't have any gluten in it, but they've given up the majority of their sweets. In addition to that, when we give up gluten, we're giving up a vast majority of our dense carbohydrates, bread, rice. No, rice is not gluten, but bread, it's any wheat product. And so we give those up, and a lot of times we in the American public, we are focused on eating a bread. We got bread in the morning, bread at lunch, bread at dinner. We have bread for snacks.
This is one I struggle with because I really enjoy bread. And
everybody does.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that's one of
you don't have to give up bread. I'm not advocating that you give it up. If you're trying to lose weight, then I would.
Yeah, all right.
But
okay.
Otherwise, if you're not trying to lose weight, you can have bread. But we focus on it. So then our whole meal, think about a typical American meal, okay? We're going to have spaghetti tonight, kids. Okay, so you have spaghetti.
Garlic bread.
I'm sorry?
You got to have garlic bread.
Yeah, and you have to have garlic bread with the spaghetti. Okay, so now you have, you know, spaghetti noodles are made out of wheat, too. They're made out of, they're a carbohydrate, too. So you have the spaghetti noodles, and then you have the garlic bread, and then, of course, an American thing to have. Spaghetti is always corn. Always corn. Corn's not a vegetable. It's another grain. So we have grain, grain, grain. And then so where were the vegetables? You might have a salad, and that would be a good thing. So, and hopefully you would have meat and your tomato sauce. And so, and the tomatoes can count as vegetables, so that's a good thing. So there's nothing wrong with tomatoes and eating spaghetti. But if all of that meal was just such a dense carbohydrate meal, then that becomes a problem. It's just too many carbohydrates, and we gain weight, and we don't feel so well. We feel foggy brain.
It's hard to just make, it seems like it's so easy to work buns or in one way, shape, or form where bread comes in. It's hard to, I mean, I did. I broke out a can of beans the other night with some hamburgers, but it just seems like it's hard to offer up beans all the time.
Yeah, it's because of our culture. It's the way we're raised. I have a client of mine that said this before in Cairo, Egypt. Mm-hmm. And so they have McDonald's restaurants, you know, hamburger restaurants everywhere. And so he visits the Cairo McDonald's. And so he said, you know, they don't serve French fries over here, Karen. And I said, really? What do they serve instead? Do you know what they serve?
Beans.
Beans.
Huh.
Because in Egypt, they eat beans. Beans are part of their meal every single
Interesting.
Part of their life, every single meal. They don't want French fries. They want beans, and so they have beans.
That would be better for us if we did that.
Yes. Can we get the McDonald's restaurants? Mark, you know they would all fail.
You got to get a hold of McDonald's about that.
Yeah, I'll get over there and talk to them right away.
All right. Let's see. Brian has said that he has responded to you and said, I'm in Mexico and cannot drink the water. He says it's been 5 days of thirst. She will probably say none of the above, but which is worse? Look forward to her answer or give me an email where I can ask her. Great show, says Brian.
I'm so sorry that he can't, that there's no bottled water available to him.
Yeah, that's puzzling. I mean, I've been in Liberia, Brian. I mean, I can't drink the water there either, or typically, but I mean, I get bottled water. I mean, there must be some kind of bottled water.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where he is and what his situation is. But, yeah, bottled water, I mean, I thought that it was available. It could be available to him. But let's say that he has no bottled water and he's not going to get any. I mean, he said something like 3 days he's been looking for something to drink. He's like, oh, man, can't he go to a store and buy bottled water? I don't know. But that's what he should look to do. Let me just give you an illustration. There's three different sweeteners that he gave. All of them are bad. All of them are going to cause health problems. So that's like saying, okay, what should I do?
But he wants to know which is the least bad.
I mean, they're all bad. Like, they're equally bad.
It's kind of like voting for a political candidate. I mean, Jesus isn't on the ballot, right? So
exactly. It's like, it's exactly the way I feel about it. So it's like, they're all bad. So you're trying to say, well, I'm going to choose the least bad one. It's like saying, okay, should I hit the hammer? I got a hammer, and I got to hit something. Should I hit my right hand, my left hand, or my right foot? Or amputation. We got to amputate something. Should I amputate my right hand, my left hand, or my right foot?
All right.
It's all bad.
The answer, Brian, is bottled water. Okay? So go get it.
You got to go to a grocery store. You got to speak enough Espanol to go buy agua.
I can't imagine, you know, 5 days of drinking nothing. So you got 2 days left, according to what Karen said, to get something.
He got seven before you.
I know, but he said five.
He's
said
five.
Days
yeah, he's
of
got
thirst.
2 days left. He's got to go to a store.
We got a man who's almost dehydrated. I can't imagine it. So, all right, we've got a couple more here that we'll get to, and we'll let you go here today. Cindy says, what is Karen's opinion on juicing? She says, you use a lot of vegetables to make a quart of juice. Can there be such a thing as too many vegetables at one time?
Well, no, not really, but the problem is that you're leaving out the fiber. Now, some juicers keep the fiber in. So vegetables are wonderful for us. We should be eating them, but one of the primary properties of fiber is the insoluble, not soluble, so this is totally different from a bean. It's a different type of fiber, is the insoluble fiber found in a vegetable. And so you want that insoluble fiber. It goes in the gastrointestinal tract, and it goes out of the gastrointestinal tract. There's no fiber that crosses the intestinal barrier. So it's on its way out, but it absorbs water. It adds bulk to your stool. It keeps you from being constipated. It helps everything. The motility means how things pass through the gastrointestinal tract. It helps that to be just exactly the way it should, good and healthy. So when we drink vegetable juice, if we juice, no problems with that, but you have to put the fiber back in. Some of these juicers have a little chute, and it shoots the fibrous portion of the vegetable out, and then everybody throws that in the trash. It's like, don't throw that in the trash. That's what we need. Stir it back into the liquid. But if you stir it back into the liquid, there's all this pulpy, massive glump of stuff that people don't want to eat that. It's like, well, yeah, it's just the juicer just chewed it up. You could have done that with your teeth. So I don't mind people juicing. Just remember, keep the fiber in. There are some, like I said, some of these juicers keep them in. So you have to just get one of those juicers.
All right, very good. And all of a sudden, for whatever reason, inexplicably, some technical difficulties. We had one last question, but my email has all of a sudden become inaccessible here. So that doesn't help. We'll have to somehow, I will forward that question to Karen and allow her to respond to you. It was Claudia, actually. She had a question. Oh, here it comes. Here, if you hang in there long enough. Good.
Okay, I'll hang in there.
All right, here we go. Claudia in Menominee. In fact, we're going to stick with water. Because she says, I know that water is very important to drink, but I'm wondering, is there a right way or a wrong way to drink it? Well, you've talked about warm water is better.
Yeah, warm water is better. There's two major things to remember with water. First of all, it should be as close to your body temperature as possible. Your body temperature is roughly 98 degrees Fahrenheit. Cold water runs 38 to 42 degrees Fahrenheit. If it has ice in it, it's even colder than that. Room temperature water is around 72 degrees Fahrenheit. So the closer it is to 98, the less your body has to work to heat it up, to 98 because you will heat the water to 98 degrees Fahrenheit. Otherwise, you die. You cannot let your body temperature fall.
Now,
your body won't let that happen.
Here's what she actually said. She said, I know water is very important to drink, but I'm wondering if there's a right way or wrong way to drink it, such as sipping all day, taking breaks between meals, or is it okay to guzzle when you're exercising or at the end of exercise?
Absolutely, you can guzzle, and absolutely you can sip it. It's whenever you can get it in and however you can do it. Some people drink their water closer to the end of the day, depending on their activity levels. Some people drink it all in the morning. I need just a grand total. A normal person of average height needs at least a half a gallon. If you're doing a lot of activity, it's 3/4 gallon. There's one more point I want to make, Mark.
Yeah.
Make sure you drink water when you eat food. A lot of people get very confused, and they keep their water separate from their food because they don't want to weaken and dilute the enzymes that are in our gut, the stomach enzymes and the hydrochloric acid that's in your stomach, from doing its job. The water doesn't weaken them. It makes them more powerful. It puts them in a position where they can get at it. We put things in solution, in aqueous, in a water solution. Then it makes the molecules, the clumps of food break up so we have more surface area to work on, even with a diluted hydrochloric acid, which hydrochloric acid in our gut's not that strong anyway. It's only a 1 molar solution, which is not strong at all.
All right, tell you what, we were about to let you go, but we got a caller just at the 11th hour here at 1131 WDOGO. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Kim, and I'm calling from Osseo.
All right, Kim, go ahead.
Say, sorry, thanks for taking my call at the last minute here. Just
yeah.
A question about if somebody has some underlying, like, dysbiosis or small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, can't the beans and the fermentation of that carbohydrate continue to problems like gas and things, and or beans maybe not the answer for that kind of a person?
All right, beans are always the answer, Karen, but go ahead.
Right, and she was a little faint. I think she's asking about small bowel overgrowth of bacteria.
Yeah.
Was that correct? Okay, yeah. I do work with tons of people. It's called SBO, small bowel overgrowth. And so it is actually not, I mean, you can be taking probiotics, but that's not fixing it. We still have that whole gut flora problem, you know, because we're killing all flora. It is the eating of soluble fiber. That is the answer. You're saying, well, it's causing me gas. It's not the beans. It's the hormones and the biofluids that are creating that, and we keep recycling them, and we never dump them. And so that's what's creating the situation. So no matter what we're eating, we feel miserable. So the real issue is soluble fiber, and are you getting frequent enough servings of soluble fiber?
I'm sorry, Cara, go ahead.
Well, I had done, you know, the beans 3 times a day for about 3 years, and I just found that I just didn't resolve anything, and so I was just curious if maybe I was feeding a problem, an underlying problem that I have.
All right, so 3 times a day for 3 years is a pretty big commitment,
that
Karen.
That is great, and I think that's wonderful, and you've done a lot of good for yourself. So what you have to do is that you have to take this a step further then and say, okay, 3 times a day, and you didn't even have to wait for 3 years. I mean, we would have known something after a month, okay? We are still having problems. So say, what else is going on? Are you recycling large amounts of bile? Now, 3 times a day is not going to catch up with it because I don't know how old you are, but this could be years that you have been recycling bile. So if a person has a lot of gut problems, I will have them eat the soluble fiber, the beans, in small amounts 6 times a day. Some people have them eat them every 20 minutes so that we can carry out all these biofluids. And then we have to look at the other overarching things. Are you taking a medication that will create this, like the lady that called in with the glaucoma drops? You know, or are you under a high amount of stress? Because when you're under a high amount of stress, you don't eat beans till the cows come home, but we're going to have to deal with the stress because that means you're producing large amounts of adrenaline. So we look at the other factors that are coming in. We look at, okay, what else are you doing in your diet? Are you including fruits in your diet that are high acid foods? And so we look at other things. So this is something that I run into often, is that a person thinks because, you know, beans are so important that beans are the answer and they fix everything to the exclusion of anything else. Beans are important, but there are other things we have to do in addition to the beans to be able to be totally healthy.
There you go. Okay. Call if you want to learn more. Again, KarenHurd.com is a lot of information. You can always make an appointment, 877-3510. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, glad to do it. Karen, we're out of time. Again, people can go to your website, KarenHurd.com. That's Hurd, H-U-R-D, KarenHurd.com. Or they can call, make an appointment, 715-877-3510, right?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Mark.
And a lot of resources they can check out as well at KarenHurd.com. Karen, we'll tackle it. 32 questions. We'll try to climb the mountain next week. We'll see how far we get, okay?
Okay, let's climb it.
All right, Fall Creek Nutritionist Karen Hurd. Again, the first part of our conversation, second, third, and fourth Wednesdays of the month, about 10:23 to 11 on WWIB and WIB.com, and then we finish it up here with a little Q&A, 11:05 to 11:30 or beyond, as today is the case. And the podcast of that first hour goes up at WIB.com under podcast, click on Wellness Wednesday, and this one is at wogo.com. And when you click on the podcast, just for homepage, okay? All right, when we come back, we turn toward politics and sports. Last night of the regular season in the NBA, Golden State's going to get win number 73 against the depleted Memphis team. Kobe Bryant's last night in the NBA. WDOGO.
Lake Halley Golf, a lot to offer for the occasional and avid golfer.
WDOGO weather on FM 103.1 AM 680 and WDOGO.com for this Wednesday morning, April 13th. Looking today for skies to gradually become mostly sunny, a high near 57 with south to southeast winds at 10 to 15, clear and 41 tonight, sunny and 67 Thursday, Friday warming up to 70 degrees with sunshine, 71 now predicted on Saturday and 69 Sunday.
Talk Radio 680, WOGO.
Save energy and money with smart electrician timers from Menards. Menards offers timers for both indoor and outdoor uses. Timers are an affordable way to keep your home comfortable and safe. This indoor programmable timer features 20 daily or weekly on-off settings. It also features a random setting mode for added security while you're away. Stop by Menards today and pick up an indoor programmable timer from Smart Electrician for only $6.99.
Save big money at Menards.
Do car repairs seem like a foreign language?
Autója termostátot ki kell cserélni.
Senin otomobilin termostat değiştirilmesi gerekiyor.
Hi, this is Bob from Adams Auto Center in Eau Claire. We speak your car's language. If you need a repair, come see us. We understand what your car needs and we'll get you on your way.
Adams Automotive Center on Craig Road, Eau Claire.
Tow it, fix it, get you on your way with Adams Automotive Center.
It's time for the best deals of the season.
The cows of Omega Valley Farmers interrupt this commercial break to remind you to take a break for a nutritious snack. At Omega Valley Farmers, our cows are fed a special diet that results in increased naturally derived omega-3 fatty acids, which means all our delicious cheeses have natural omega-3s too. Find the list of retailers in your area at OmegaValleyFarmers.com or ask your grocer to carry Omega Valley Farmers cheese. Enjoy your break.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
All right, a couple of things on my mind as we talk politics. First and foremost, Paul Ryan categorically rules out a presidential run. And I guess these things are probably related because I want to start with Paul Ryan and then Charles Hurt today, his column in the D.C. I like Paul Ryan. I mean, if you look at his Heritage Action conservative. Is it Heritage Action? I forget if it's Heritage Action or American Conservative Union, one of the two. And those are the ones that have been around a while. But he's got a 90% conservative rating. Now, sometimes you maybe get somebody like I just saw the American Conservative Union out with their rating of state legislators. And let's just take Terry Moulton. All right. I mean, Terry representing the 23rd State Senate District. He's been an assemblyman in I think, his first bid for the assembly. He may have come up short. He went after it 2 years later. I mean, he won, and he's been in the assembly and then lost there and went back and won the state Senate and all sorts of battles. I mean, he's worked hard. And so his rating was, in 2013, he was 100% American Conservative Union rating. And then I thought, well, this time they give him an 88%. Well, what happened? Well, there were like eight votes they evaluated, seven or eight votes maybe, and one of them having to do with stadium funding, which apparently he supported. He either supported or didn't vote. But anyhow, so he didn't get the points for voting against that, so that dropped him. That was the one vote, but everything else he was along. Anyhow, Paul Ryan, I say center-right conservative, but he doesn't please people because they're upset with him on, if you're following the Trump path these days, you're like, you know, bus all the illegals out of here as fast as you can. I don't care if they're helping out on the farm and whatever it is. And then your view on trade says, you know, whatever. I'm not sure exactly. Because Paul Ryan voted for TPP. Ron Kind voted for TPP. Kind is known, as much as you may differ with Ron Kind. I mean, the fact is that he, on economic issues, is more bipartisan. And there's a variety of things. He's more moderate. Then he has, let's say, socially. And so there's things where we try to just pigeonhole things. and it doesn't always fit as nicely or neatly into a box. Anyhow, Paul Ryan is somebody I like. I would be fine with just at what it is in terms of Paul Ryan as the presidential candidate. And in terms of the disagreement of talk radio, you've got folks like Michael Medved who are believers that, you know what, maybe a fresh, clean candidate would be the way to go. And you've got other people like my friend James Hurston, who's with us Tuesdays at 10:30 on WWIB. And he's been a big Trump proponent. Tells me he hasn't officially endorsed Trump, but every single week he defends Trump ad nauseum. And so all I'm saying is you can hear a lot of times my view on things is like, this is my opinion, but I don't know. I don't have a corner on the truth, and either do you. That's the thing that gets me with people who are just so sure, so cut and dried, so black and white. I'm like, you don't have a corner on the truth. You don't have a corner on it, all right? You don't. You don't have it all. None of us do. Whether it's you're talking, you know, the two subjects you're not supposed to talk about in mixed company, right? Religion and politics, which they're more fun to talk about. So that's what talk radio frequently can be about. So Paul Ryan did come out yesterday. Now, why? I mean, he did because there was increased rumors and increased. Now, he was just getting back from this trip to Israel, but the trip and a variety of things and this 43-second web ad that was out last week, the perception, a lot of it was Paul Ryan's trying to run this parallel candidacy, and he just felt like we need to douse the fire in a stronger way than we have before, and he did yesterday.
Afternoon. I just returned from a week-long trip to the Middle East to meet with our allies and our partners there. We had some important conversations about ISIS, the security threat in that region, and those around the world. But I'll tell you, it is really amazing how our politics has followed so closely overseas. I was asked about it everywhere I went. I'm also aware that while I was overseas, there was more speculation that someone other than the current candidates will emerge as our party's nominee. I want to put this to rest once and for all. As you know, I have stayed out of this race, and I have remained neutral. As chairman of the Republican Convention, my job is to ensure that there is integrity in the process, that the rules are followed by the rule book. That means it is not my job to tell delegates what they should do. But I've got a message to relay today. We have too much work to do in the House to allow this speculation to swirl or to have my motivations questioned. So let me be clear. I do not want, nor will I accept the nomination for our party. So let me speak directly to the delegates on this. If no candidate has a majority on the first ballot, I believe that you should only choose from a person who has actually participated in the primary. Count me out. I simply believe that if you want to be the nominee for our party, to be the president, you should actually run for it. I chose not to do this. Therefore, I should not be considered, period, end of story. I just think it would be wrong to go any other way. So let me say again, I am not going to be our party's nominee. But I'll also be clear about something else. Not running does not mean I'm going to disappear. When I accepted this speakership, I did so on the condition that I would do things differently than they had been done in the past. For one, I made it clear that this would be a policy and communications-focused speakership. And secondly, I made clear last year in 2015, before the primaries even started, that we would be putting together a policy agenda and offer a clear choice to the American people. That's what I told my colleagues I would do, and that is exactly what I have been doing. Look, there is a big debate going on right now. It's about what kind of country we're going to be. As Speaker of the House, I believe that I have not just an opportunity, but an obligation to advance that debate. As I've talked about this before, politics today, it tends to drift toward personality contests, not policy contests. Insults get ink more than ideas. But we still owe it to the country to show what we would do if given a mandate from the people. We have an obligation to give a clear picture, a clear choice, to talk about solutions. That's why I've been giving speeches. That is why I've been communicating a vision for what our party and our country can be. And that is why I'm going to continue doing just that. I believe we can once again be an optimistic party that is defined by our belief in the limitless possibility of our people. We want a party defined by solutions, by being on the side of the people. We want to take our principles and apply them to the problems of the day.
All right, so Paul Ryan, this is part of his full statement before he took a couple of questions yesterday at the Republican National Committee headquarters in Washington, D.C. Quarter to 12, homepage, WDOGO. I'm Mark Halverson. Later, Ted Cruz from Sean Hannity's show yesterday. But again, it's when Ryan says things like this that, again, he's right. He's telling the truth. I mean, he did talk about, you know, I wanted to have an opportunity approach. I want to lead from the ground up. I want there to be communication. He does way more interviews, way better than John Boehner did. And so there's a lot of positives and there's a lot of flack. I mean, it doesn't matter what you lead. If you try to herd the cats as the Speaker of the House or whatever you lead, I mean, there's a target on your back and people fire at it. And so for Ryan, also when he says things like he just did there in terms of or this recent 43-second ad that came out last week, it's people perceive it a lot of times because Trump is so contrarian. Right. So many of the things when Ryan says we don't, you know, need to insult each other. Well, people immediately think of the king of insults, the Don Rickle of politics, Donald Trump. Right. Lion Ted. Nobody's ever done that. Nobody's ever branded somebody over and over and over. Nobody's had less civility. Nobody's whined and bitched and moaned and complained more than Donald Trump to the point that it's, you know, relentless. And so that's why a lot of who Paul Ryan is nowhere near like Donald Trump, you know, loud, obnoxious, uncivil. And so Ryan is a policy wonk who can communicate well, is telegenic. He's got experience. He's got know-how. He does have a plan. He does have ideas. And so he can sound, when he does give some of these speeches or he runs an ad or something, it can certainly seem like, well, you say you're neutral, but it seems like you've got more, that your opinions are counter to Uncle Donald than anybody else.
Embrace free enterprise and reject cronyism. Promote upward mobility. Provide solutions to those who are stuck in fighting poverty. Offer a tax code that rewards work, not the well-connected. A strong and focused military. A healthcare system that promotes choice and flexibility. A secure border. A government that allows people to fulfill their American idea. You know, this great idea that the condition of your birth doesn't determine the outcome of your life. That's the kind of an agenda we are building right now. And that is the kind of an agenda that we are going to be releasing in the next few months. This job provides a platform to communicate a conservative vision for our country. And I am intent on using it.
Now, again, you can't help but think about Donald Trump, right? I mean, he's been taken on as not a real conservative. And a lot of people who have the bona fides to make themselves qualified as, okay, now that would be a real conservative. I mean, he blasts them, criticizes them, bashes them, mocks them, ridicules them, calls them out. Or, and then maybe the next day says, yeah, I'd think about him as my running mate. Like Marco Rubio or Scott Walker. I mean, with Walker, it went beyond the pale. When you come into Wisconsin and you go to Janesville and you say, yeah, I mean, Scott Walker, I mean, if anybody, if Scott Walker's not a real conservative, then nobody is, right? I mean, fiscally and socially, I mean, I don't know what, I mean, good grief. And so the fact of the matter is that, I mean, and Trump wants to criticize people for talking out of both sides of them. He came into Wisconsin. He didn't need to take the axe to Walker more. I mean, he'd already beaten him. But he did, and he actually said in this great state of Wisconsin that he criticized Walker for not raising taxes. Come again? And then he tells USA Today, yeah, he would be one of the people I'd think about as my running mate. And Walker himself is like, I can't fathom that. So, all right, tell you what, there's more of Paul Ryan. I don't know if we'll get to it because we got to take a break. When we come back, we need to get to Ted Cruz with Sean Hannity yesterday. Because some of you people still, even after Paul Ryan said what he said yesterday, some of the people like Charles Hurt in the Washington Times are saying, Paul Ryan, you know, don't herald the arrival of a knight in shining armor. And, okay, whatever, Charles. People still want to be, they still want to be worried and anxious about The establishment's going to take it away. Ted Cruz isn't worried. That's next, WOGO.
Your living space for your home with landscape.
All right, let's take that from the top.
Create the perfect outdoor living space for your home with landscape blocks from Menards. An attractive outdoor space adds another stylish room to your home. And whether it's a backyard paradise, a spacious patio, or a sturdy retaining wall, there's no limit to what you can create. Cortland pavers are perfect for walkways and patios. Available in three sizes, stop into Menards today. 6x11 pavers are only 97 cents each.
Save big money at Menards.
Looking for an apartment? Contact Peters Rentals, a landlord you can trust. See available apartments online at petersrentals.net or call 715-831-2106. Their office is located at 1620 South Hastings Way, Eau Claire. Peters Rentals has a full-time management and maintenance staff to promptly assist tenants. With over 40 years of owning and managing apartments, they know that satisfied tenants are happy customers. Contact them online at petersrentals.net. That's petersrentals.net or call 715-831-2106.
Hi, I'm Kathy Jensen, your area Thrivent financial representative. We are a not-for-profit membership organization of Christians that helps nearly 2.5 million member owners be wise with their money. We offer a variety of products and services, including life insurance, annuities, and mutual funds, plus sound financial guidance about saving, spending, and sharing. Learn more about healthy relationships with money and living a life of generosity. Contact me, Kathy Jensen, at Thrivent Financial today.
Lake Alley Golf. Check eSpecials for the best golf deals around. Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
All right, Ted Cruz on Sean Hannity yesterday. For all of you people who, even after Paul Ryan's announcement, still want to just wring your hands with worry and say, I just know it's going to happen. The evil, awful, terrible establishment is going to take away, and they don't want Donald, and they don't want Ted. And Ted Cruz is not breathless, and he's not worried, and he's not anxious. And if he's not, I don't think you should be. So we're going to try to calm your fears coming up here on WOGO. But first of all, Marco has helped us and others save on print costs and become more productive. Marco, and be car care aware. Listen for the car care tip of the day. Weekdays brought to you by your area Eau Claire and Lake Alley Auto Value Auto Parts stores. All right, I'm going to give you the longer version, and then we're going to zero in on the particular comment I really want you to hear. We've got 8 minutes left, so we can squeeze it in. Ted Cruz with Sean Hannity yesterday, WOGO.
What has bothered me, and I know it's bothered you too, is that I keep hearing from John Boehner, who says that he wants Paul Ryan, who said today that he's not going to do it. But
right.
You hear from Karl Rove, we need a fresh face. I think Mitt Romney's adopted a strategy that in the hopes that somebody else can get on the floor. We have GOP state delegates that are on record hoping to bring somebody that didn't run in the campaign in. And I just get the sense that this whole effort at a contested convention is to circumvent the will of the voters and to leapfrog over both you and Donald Trump. You guys, I know you guys are at odds right now, but you may have one thing in common, and that is the establishment hates you both. And that, to me, would be a travesty.
Well, I mean, let's be clear. Donald and I are very, very different in that regard. As Donald has said 7 months ago, he was the establishment. He's been funding Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer and liberal Democrats, and he's been funding the Republican establishment against conservatives for decades. And so we have a very different background. I have never been what Donald has been, which is a supporter of open border Democrats, a supporter of those seeking to undermine our Second Amendment. That's what Donald has been.
Do you not agree with me, though? I mean, that's a different issue. Do you agree that the establishment, if they have their way, they would try to take this nomination from you? Because I believe they would.
Sure, but I'll tell you, I'm not remotely concerned about that.
Tell me why. That's what I'm trying to get to.
They would love to. They would love to do that, but they can't. If we go to a contested convention, and that is looking more and more likely, what that means is that I'm going to come in with a ton of delegates, Donald is going to come in with a ton of delegates, and it's going to be a battle to see who can get the majority, who can earn the majority of the delegates elected by the people. Now, are there Washington dealmakers who would love to parachute in some other Washington dealmaker? Yes, but it's impossible to get it done. The only way you can become the Republican nominee is to earn 1,237 delegates. For the Washington plan to work, they'd have to convince 1,000 Trump delegates or 1,000 Cruz delegates to suddenly support this Washington candidate. That ain't going to happen. It's going to be one of two things. There are only two people who have any plausible possibility of being the nominee. It will either be Donald Trump or me. And at a contested convention, Sean, I think that we are going to have the overwhelming advantage. It's why Donald is panicking. But I do want to bring something up that happened today that I found really troubling looking forward to a contested convention, which is I am very troubled at the Trump campaign's consistent pattern of inciting violence and threatening violence. Just today, I spoke to the chairman of the Colorado Republican Party. The Trump supporters put out his phone number, put out his address. He's been receiving death threats. They're telling people to come to his house with guns because the Trump campaign is so unhappy.
Wait a minute. Who did that? Because if somebody is making a threat like that, they should be arrested and put in jail.
You are absolutely right.
All right, so that's the full three-minute clip, but here's the main part, 1 minute and 1 second, that I think most germane will maybe air it twice. Ted Cruz, for all of you out there, and I'm hearing from some of you who are just like, oh, I just know it, I just know it, I just know. Paul Ryan, he spoke yesterday, and I mean, I think Charles Hertz kind of sounding like this in the Washington Times today, and he's just like, saying, does he seriously expect voters to believe he would not accept his party's nomination? I mean, what else do you want him to say, Charles? He's saying he wouldn't, okay? But here's the deal, is that, and I don't disagree. I'm not, like, the idea of the establishment doesn't keep me up at night. I've never heard more people more worried and critical of it. I don't know. I want them to give me some of the specifics, but whatever. I don't have some of the same anger. The state of Wisconsin, if you look at the exit polling and our voting on April the 5th, we didn't have the same amount of anti-establishment anger. But here's the thing. Ted Cruz isn't worried about it. Ted Cruz isn't concerned about it. Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas who's fighting with Trump for the nomination, is saying, you know what? This is going to work out. It's okay.
Do you agree that the establishment, if they have their way, they would try to take this nomination from you? Because I believe they would.
Sure, but I'll tell you, I'm not remotely concerned about that.
Tell me why. That's what I'm trying to get to.
They would love to. They would love to do that, but they can't. If we go to a contested convention, and that is looking more and more likely, what that means is that I'm going to come in with a ton of delegates. Donald is going to come in with a ton of delegates. And it's going to be a battle to see who can get the majority, who can earn the majority of the delegates elected by the people. Now, are there Washington dealmakers who would love to parachute in some other Washington dealmaker? Yes. But it's impossible to get it done. The only way you can become the Republican nominee is to earn 1,237 delegates. For the Washington plan to work, they'd have to convince 1,000 Trump delegates or 1,000 Cruz delegates to suddenly support this Washington candidate. That ain't going to happen. It's going to be one of two things. There are only two people who have any plausible possibility of being the nominee. It will either be Donald Trump or me. And at a contested convention, Sean, I think that we are going to have the overwhelming advantage. It's why Donald is panicking.
Please hear what Senator Cruz said. Finally, we've got that. Again, we've got 2 minutes left in the show. It's a 1 minute. We'll do it with commentary. Here we go. Ted Cruz.
Do you agree that the establishment, if they have their way, they would try to take this nomination from you? Because I believe they would.
Sure, but I'll tell you, I'm not remotely concerned about it.
There you go. Sure, they would. Okay, if you want to talk about the establishments, the insider, I don't know, the really wealthy people, okay, whatever that, and people who want to turn over the establishment table, all right, fine. But the fact is that, sure, but I'm not even remotely concerned about that. Please hear that.
Tell me why. That's what I'm trying to get to.
They would love to. They would love to do that, but they can't. If we go to a contested convention, and that is looking more and more likely, what that means is that I'm going to come in with a ton of delegates. Donald is going to come in with a ton of delegates. And it's going to be a battle to see who can get the majority, who can earn the majority of the delegates elected by the people. Now, are there Washington dealmakers who would love to parachute in some other Washington dealmaker? Yes. But it's impossible to get it done. The only way you can become the Republican nominee is to earn 1,237 delegates. For the Washington plan to work, they'd have to convince 1,000 Trump delegates or 1,000 Cruz delegates to suddenly support this Washington candidate. That ain't going to happen. It's going to be one of two things. There are only two people who have any plausible possibility of being the nominee. It will either be Donald Trump or me. And at a contested convention, Sean, I think that we are going to have the overwhelming advantage. It's why Donald is panicking.
All right, so there you go. For all of you who want to continue to hand-wring, I can't stop you. For all of you who want to say, I know it's going to happen, the establishment, they're going to do it. And they're out there. I mean, Rush Limbaugh is saying it. Sean Hannity, he seems worried. Ted Cruz isn't. Okay, count me in with Ted Cruz. I'm not worried. Listen, Trump could still win this on the first nomination. He absolutely could. Somebody today, a member of the Rules Committee, in the last 24 hours, has gone on. RNC Rules Committee members said Trump could win the nomination if he exceeds 1,100 delegates. Ford did that in 76. He went with less than the necessary number. Well, see, 1,100, you have to get a lot of those undecided, uncommitted. But, hey, more tomorrow. Don't worry. WOGO.